Just to start off, the new acts and the regulations around the appeal process is completely new territory, I think, for all of us. And when I was preparing for this, in many ways, I had more questions than I did answers. And so today what I have attempted to do is to provide really an initial discussion on the appeal process and to talk about the major changes and, well, just hopefully begin what I think is going to be quite a difficult process for all of us in the next couple of years. Now, the handout that went passed out the very last minute that Payne just talked about, we will be referring to it later on in my discussion. Just wanted to make sure everyone's got that handy. Before I start, I'd just like to get a sense of the experience in this room. And if people wouldn't mind, just telling, put up your hand if you've done more than 10 BC Benefits Tribunals in your life. Put up your hand. If you've done more than 10.
About less than one.
We're going to get there. More than 10. Okay. How about less than 10? Okay. How about any tribunals under the new legislation? Oh, wow. Wow, well, that's great. We look forward to hearing from you. I can't raise my hand on that one. I don't know what they look like. I haven't been there yet. Okay, so from just the getting a sense of the room, it's, I'd say 50% of the folks here have done under 10 tribunals under the BC Benefits legislation, and 50% then have. Okay, so what are the significant changes? There's three. There's all sorts of changes, but the ones I want to focus on are that the recon process, the reconsideration process, has been expanded. The second one is that there's new restrictions on the panel's decision-making ability. And the third one is that there's only an option now to appeal to a court for judicial review. There's no longer the appeal board. Now, I'm going to talk about all those things, but those are the major changes. The first thing I'd like to talk about then is the recon stage. And everyone in their binder, I actually want to refer you to these documents so you can start getting comfortable with them. The appeal stuff is in the back. So if you can go to pretty much the back of your binder and pull out the, or you don't have to pull it out, but you're turning to the document that's called Employment and Assistance Request for Reconsideration, and that's in this far corner right here. Just want everyone looking at this document while we're talking.
It's behind the second last, second bright yellow tab, at the towards the very end of the of that section.
Keep going.
I did see it.
Well, this is a challenge.
Okay,
sure. Okay. Everyone who's found it, if your neighbor hasn't found it, can you help them find it? Sorry, bear with me, but it's actually really important to be familiar with the documents we're going to be working with. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so this is the new reconsideration form. For those of you that have been doing tribunals in the past and gone through the appeal process, the recon form, which I call it, it was much shorter. This now has got some more opportunities to write stuff in it. And the very bottom of that first page, it says in that last little box, request for reconsideration to be referred to the regional office or to the health assistance branch. This is the first change around with the procedure. What's going to happen is they have now created two different decision makers on requests of denials. The one is our old BC Benefits Coordinator, which are now called the Employment and Assistance Coordinator. And there's a new unit called the Health Assistance Reconsideration Unit. This unit will be doing recons for all the health requests, so anything under Schedule C of the regulations, and PWD, so Persons with Disability Applications. I've been informed that those are probably the only two areas that this new unit will be doing the recons for. So that's that just heads up. That's a bit of new info, or that's a new setup. The EAW will know when this recon form is filled out, whether it should be sent to the Employment Assistance Coordinator or to the Health Assistance Reconsideration Unit. Now, I've been told that this new unit is at arm's length with the Health Assistance Branch. Well, I was going to say you guys can be the judge of that. Okay, so the most important change for us, I think, is how we fill out these reconsideration forms. Now what is going to be required is for us to front load the evidence and your argument in the beginning of the appeal process, in the recon process. So when your client has been denied something by the EAW and maybe the district supervisor with some informal appealing, and it's time to fill out a request for reconsideration, this is the time that you need to gather all your evidence and even write your argument and append it to this form. And we're going to talk a little bit more later why that's going to be so critical. So, one more tip and then we're going to move on to the tribunal stuff. If you turn the back of the form under Section 3 and it says reason for request for reconsideration, it's really important that when you attach all your great evidence and your argument and you say see attached documents, that that's not all you do. Because I'm sure all of us here have had many experiences that the ministry loses things. And because the recon has become so important, because this is the foundation of your argument now, write in this section, I would recommend that you write in this section, see attached documents, and then list every single document that you've attached. So that when you get to tribunal and the ministry says, oh, we never had that document, you've got actual evidence that that is what you had submitted. Okay, so enough little detail stuff. Let's move on to the tribunal. What's changed with the tribunal process? First of all, the panel members are no longer what we would have called like a community panel. There's been a roster of panel member appointees, and when a tribunal is going to be convened, there is now a provincial chair of the tribunal, and he will be choosing who the panel members are for the particular tribunal. There's no more we don't get to choose one of the panel members anymore. The notice of hearing for the tribunal is going to be affected in one way and one way only. The client will receive a couriered letter informing her, him, of the place and the time of the hearing. And in the regulations, they are required to be given at least 2 days' notice. And I know I've heard some rumblings already that this is creating a lot of problems because people are getting notice at the last minute and then they're having to rush out somewhere or they can't even get there for their tribunal. The ministry is aware that this is actually causing problems because it's causing problems for them, because they can't get their DSs out there. And so there is some discussion, I've been told, of trying to make this an easier notice process. However, advocates aren't going to be told. You will not be notified. Your client is going to have to tell you when they receive the letter, where and when. And, you know, one of the most bizarre, well, I never say most bizarre because something always surprises me, but a bizarre example was there was a client living in Seashelt who was notified 2 days, so following the regulations, that the tribunal was going to be in 2 days' time in New Westminster. You know, like, that doesn't jive, right? That's, there's significant problems, and I suspect there's a number of stories that we can already hear that might curl our toenails. So then the issue is about adjournments. Okay, well, what if we find out that we've got one of our clients has an appeal that there's no way we can make it to or the client can't make it to? What I've been told is that you can contact the Tribunal Appeal Office, and I have that information for you. I'll give it to you in a moment, to adjourn. But if it's too close to the appeal time, you'll have to show up and adjourn it. Now, when asking what is too close, that they weren't able to give me an answer yet. But I suspect we'll get answers around those things.
One day.
Yeah. Okay. So if you can't give 1 day notice from the comment here from the front, then you have to show up and adjourn at that point. Okay, so contact information. I was so pleased that I... what do I want to do here? This way. No, this way. Oh. Okay. So, the Employment Assistance Appeal Tribunal. This is their office. It's in Victoria. You can reach them by toll-free number. I called them 6 times this morning. It works. No one would talk to me, but the number works. And... okay, so I'm just going to leave that up there for a moment while you all get that. What the tribunal chair, his name is Brian Gifford, and the registrar Francis Sasvory, and I've been told, now I'm not going to get this right, there's 5 clerks, there's an assistant registrar, and there's a couple other admin staff. It's a big office from the sounds of it. So... okay, so let's get on to some more of the substantive stuff. The significant changes to the tribunal process are twofold. One is that there's new rules on evidence and what evidence can be admitted or accepted at the tribunal stage. And there's new rules for how the tribunal will make its decision. Has everyone got this? Okay, write it down. I got my next overhead. Okay, Penny's writing it up over there. Great, thanks very much, Penny. Oh. Grumbles in the crowd. Okay, so the Employment Assistance Act now under Section 22 sub 4 sets out the information around, or sets out the test around evidence. Okay? So in a hearing referred to in subsection 3, that's just in the tribunal hearing, a panel may admit as evidence only the information and records that were before the minister when the decision being appealed was made, that's the recon decision, and oral or written testimony in support of the information and records referred to in paragraph A. So the evidence that was attached to the reconsideration. Just can you just hold on to that? That's a special leaked document that we're going to come to later. Okay? Yeah, all the juicy bits in a minute. Okay, so what's important here is that I'm going to back up. I was concerned when I first read this, when it initially came out in draft months ago, that, oh my God, it's going to be so restrictive, we're not going to be able to bring anything to tribunal, and what if we can't get the doctor's letter in time because we can't get a specialist appointment, and the sky is falling. But in preparing for this talk, I actually realized, when I started to actually think of examples, that it's not as restrictive as it may appear. For example, if you have a reconsideration request for a wheelchair and the client has stated, in my case, let's say peripheral neuropathy is something that it hits people with HIV, and it's a nerve. It hurts. It affects the nervous system, and it really creates painful feet and hands and limbs. So, the on the reconsideration, it says my client has peripheral neuropathy, is unable to walk anymore, and has been going to physiotherapy for four times a month, and has been using a cane, but can no longer use the cane, requires a wheelchair. There's no other doctor's letter or anything attached to the reconsideration, but the client's testimony is in there, the advocate's submission on the argument, arguing why the legislation applies in this situation, goes into recon. And then you come to tribunal, and finally you're able to have the doctor's appointment, you're able to get a letter from the doctor. You come to the tribunal, and you bring the doctor's letter in, and you want to have that admitted. I would argue that's straightforward. Of course it's going to be admitted. It is written testimony in support of the information and records that was given at the recon. Now, again, we start hearing that tribunal members are saying, oh, no new evidence. That's not what this is about. This is not new evidence. We're not bringing up a brand new thing like, oh, yeah, by the way, the individual only has one leg, and so they need a wheelchair. Like, we're not adding new evidence, or we're not saying, oh, the person also wants handy dart passes for X and Y. We're simply providing additional information which confirms what we wrote in the recon. Okay? Now, if we go to the draft manual that someone just mentioned, the little piece of paper that was passed out. Can I have a copy of it? Thanks. This document, which probably many of you have already seen, is draft 7, as it says, of a manual that's been written for the tribunal panel members. We're not supposed to see this. We're not supposed to know that this exists. And I'm relieved when I read this, because so far on this draft, the directions to the panel members are just what I've said. And that is that if there's additional evidence that is going to support and confirm the information and evidence that was attached to the recon, that should be accepted. Okay? So I've just given you this as just a little bit more information that hopefully that will continue to be the intent of the panel members. I don't know, maybe that might be helpful to raise at tribunal, let's say, what draft 7 of their manual said. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh. We need the mic if you can ask a question. Really? Okay. So yeah. So if you want to.
Do you want me to wait for the question?
If you don't mind,
no.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it actually doesn't matter what I think. It actually doesn't even matter if I'm right. What matters is what the panel thinks, right? So ultimately, if you are unable, for whatever reason, to include all the evidence at the recon stage, be ready to have an argument why your information and additional evidence should be accepted at the tribunal level. And I, not only be ready, oh yeah, I got to remember that, but I would suggest even have a written piece, a written submission around that, okay? Because ultimately it is going to be up to the panel to decide. And you always want to be thinking in the back of your head, it's really important to get as much of the evidence in as soon as possible at the recon stage, because we are building and building an appeal case if we have to go to court for judicial review. And what a shame if a panel didn't admit a piece of evidence that was critical that you could have put into at the recon stage. So you'll be talking about JR tomorrow, judicial review tomorrow, I think in one of the breakouts. It's a complicated thing, and whether it's going to be possible for judicial review to actually occur, for us to garner the resources and make it happen is another thing. But you always want to remember there is that other opportunity to go to court. So it doesn't mean that you would go to court, but if you can create the foundation of a strong case, all the better. Okay, so the next and second major change, it's the last thing I'm going to talk about, is the standard of review. What does that mean?